good to be here. This is our third Sunday being here, and I tell you, brother, I've been getting fed on those Sundays. And I really appreciate you teaching on that word, remember. I love doing word studies. There's nothing like getting into that Bible with word study and just let the Word of God show you what to do, show you what He has. And what that word remember has been good. I mean, you've really put it in perspective, you know, how the Lord thinks on things and how He wants us to think on things. I mean, He don't put it there for His good. The King James Bible wasn't given to us for His good. He gave it to us for our good so that we can remember the things that have happened, remember those things that He wants, the good things. Where do you find the good things? You find the good things here. This is where the good things lie. And so I do appreciate you, Brother Doug, and of course, texting back and forth in the mornings. That's just something I've done. It's something that I hold personal, that I get up early in the morning. Why? That's when I can get my quiet time. Okay, that's when I can be alone. I don't have to worry about the family. They're still in bed sleeping. I don't have to worry about nobody bothering me and nothing like that. That's my quiet time. And so that's why I'm up early. Doug said to measure something. We've been in works, me and Brother Doug. I think I got it all hammered out for March 21st through March 24th. We'd like to hold a special meeting here at the church. And I was going to talk to Joe and Teresa about doing the music, leading the music. For those evenings, it'll be at 7 o'clock every night, two preachers per night. The preachers are going to be those young men and men who've been called to preach from our church. They'll come here and preach, so that'll be a Thursday night through a Sunday. Okay, we'll have two preachers each day there. I have a special meeting here. No food or nothing like that. You know, we don't need to get into that. That raises it, you know, people trying to have to rush to get here. No, we don't want that. We want just preaching, okay? We want them to be able to come here and sit down underneath the preaching. I will get some waters for people who do need it or whatever. Other than that, keep that in prayer, because I do believe the Lord's in it. We've got some flyers made up. We'll have those sent out. And so be in prayer for that, for, you know, starting out these young men. God is using, you know, they've been coming here, okay? And God has a calling on their lives. And so what better way to train them than get them out there preaching? You know what I mean? What better way to get them out there and get preaching and such? And so March 21st through the 24th, 7 o'clock, two preachers per evening. Where's the money going to come from? The money's going to come from people who give, all right? Offerings. We'll take an offering every night. That'll be split up between the preachers or whatever. Nothing comes to our pocket. It goes straight to them. There are other churches that are going to be here. I've already talked to other church members. They're going to invite their people. So we could have a good meeting going on here that week, and, you know, God get in here and move and change some lives. That's our hope, is that lives will be changed, saved or unsaved, okay? There are unsaved people that sit in church pews every single week, every single service, okay? I travel around as a missionary working with those that are in jails and prisons, having come from that life, and I travel around. We've been in hundreds of churches across the United States, and I'll just tell you right now, there is a disease of lost people sitting in churches who believe that they're saved because they're religious. Well, religion never changed me. I just want to put that out there. Jesus Christ is who's changed my life, not religion. I didn't get into religion because I needed a crutch. I needed Jesus Christ. I needed to be saved. I needed to be born again through the Word of God, okay? That remembrance, the Word of God, okay? Remembrance, the Word of God that we're born again by. It's not because of our good works, because God says it, that our righteousness is filthy rags. Nothing. It's disgusting without Jesus Christ. And so our prayer and hope is that people would get saved, and thank God that the Lord put it on our hearts to be able to have a meeting here where the Word of God would be preached. And Christians, we need help. Okay, we're in the last days. We need encouragement, and that's what I've been getting here for the last three Sundays. Normally we go out and we are the preachers, which means I preach Sunday school, I preach the 11 o'clock service, and then I'll preach an afternoon evening service. So we're always the preacher. Do you know how good it is to get preached to, Brother Doug? Do you know how wonderful it is to be able to sit there and have you exhort and teach in that Bible? I love it, okay? I love being able to sit underneath the preaching myself. And so we ought to appreciate, Brother Doug, and what you're doing in that Sunday school service. It's just, it's outstanding, brother, and I love it, and I thank you for it. And so let's move on to Luke chapter 22. You know, Mary, what she do? She pondered those things, it says. She kept those things in the forefront of her mind. Why? Because they look at when something is important to you, where do you keep it? You keep it in the front of your thoughts. And that's what God is asking us to do with His Word. Ponder those things. Keep them in the forefront of our thinking. Why? Because when a situation comes up or something happens or something that we need to, maybe have to make a decision on, where's the Word of God? Here, it's in the forefront of our hearts, okay? It's in our thoughts, man. We can think on those things too many times. When those double doors swing and people leave out of here, they forgot everything that they heard in church. And then next thing you know, you'll get a call. You know, Brother Dale, you know, I'm struggling in this area. I go, well, Brother Doug just taught on that. If you would have listened, you might have got some help. That's a reality. But the problem is when we leave here, I did my duty, and we go home and forget about what was preached. It's only important while we're here, Miss Lisa. That's how people live their life today, and it's a shame to watch that, because back in your days, that's not how it worked. Then people took the Word of God and they put it in their hearts and they thought on those things and they were able to have success in life and they had a relationship with God. Those men of old were touched with God's power. But why? Because they didn't just leave those things when they left church. It wasn't only in church they carried those things. But too many times today, that's all people get into is to come to church. I did my duty on Sunday. I'll come on Wednesday prayer night and that is it. God is out the window. God forbid if you're caught in that. You can get out of that. You don't have to stay in that. Well, Luke chapter 22, and I want to start in verse 41 here. Look what it says in Luke chapter 22 and verse 41. It says, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. That's Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 22, verse 41. And he kneeled down and prayed. Wow, that might be something we ought to do once in a while. Well, if you got bad knees, God understands. I'm just saying. If you can get on your knees to a holy God. If you can't, God understands that. He really does. He's not asking you to do that if you can't do it. In verse 42, look at it. Here's Jesus Christ talking. He says, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. You know why? Why? Because at this point, Jesus Christ knows what he's going to go and face. And he had a different will than the Father at this point. That's how we know the Godhead is three but one. Jesus Christ at this point had a different will than the Father. He says, Father, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me. But you know what he said? Look, the next verse he says, Lord, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. What in the world would make Jesus Christ want to pray something like this? Well, let's read the next couple verses. And in verse 43, it is, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Why did Jesus Christ need to be strengthened? Is he not God at this point? Yes, he's God. But he laid it all aside. And see, he's standing there in the strength of man. He's in a weakened state. People say, well, Jesus Christ is fully God. He surely didn't understand what I was going through. Oh, my friend, you have no understanding of the scriptures. Jesus Christ understands perfectly what you're going through. He understands no matter if it's a sickness, if it's a struggle, if it's an abuse, if it's an addiction, whatever it is that you might be going through, believe me, Jesus Christ understands it. He's come down here in his weakened state. He's given up his will. He said, Father, let your will be done in my life. And an angel comes down and he strengthens him. Something's about to go on. Something's about to happen that's never happened in eternity. Look at verse 44. And being in agony. Here's Jesus Christ on his knees. An angel is strengthening him. He's in agony. And he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood
falling down to the ground. This was no lame 10-minute prayer. Jesus Christ is in agony over what he's sitting here going to face. He's in complete agony. He says it then more earnestly. I mean, that he's begging God at this moment. He's saying, Father. Brother Joe, I just got to say something to you. He's seeing your face at this moment. Amy, God is looking at your face, Mom. And here he is, he's praying more earnestly. And he's praying so hard, Mother, that the capillaries under his skin are bursting and blood is coming through his skin. Why? Because he's about to go through something for each and every single one of us that's sitting here today. So much so that an angel had to come and strengthen him. And he's willing to take this. Why, Brother Scott, is Jesus Christ praying like this? Look, it's not the beatings that he's going to take. It's not the scourging that he's going to take that's making him pray this way. It's not the crown of thorns that they're going to put on his head. It's not the agony of being nailed to a cross and given nothing to drink but vinegar. This is not why he's praying this way. Why is he praying so earnestly, Amy, that he would drop sweats of drop blood? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 27. I'll show you why. Matthew chapter 27. We ought to think on these things. This is something we ought to remember about Jesus Christ. We ought to get in that scripture and look at, he's given us a perfect Bible to do it. He's given us that Bible that we can get in here and we can understand why Jesus Christ has gone through those things. We have to understand. We just look at him like we remember him when he walked on water, and we might remember him for being hung on a cross, but we don't remember him in the agony of that prayer, in his weakened state. Do you know he chose that? Anybody in here ever choose agony?
No.
Oh no, we run from it. Not Jesus. He's in a weakened state, brother, where the angel has to strengthen him, and he's in agony so much so that he's sweating drops of blood. And look what it says in Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, and let's go to, I got to get there, verse 46. And about the ninth hour, verse 46 of Matthew 27. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus Christ is in the garden. He's praying drops of blood earnestly. Why? Because for the first time in eternity's past, God the Father and him are going to be separated. And why is God the Father and him separated? For your sin. God the Father. What did it say? Jesus Christ said, why have you forsaken me? What does it mean to be forsaken? It is somebody who's been totally abandoned, to been left alone entirely, to withdraw from, to desert. This is what God the Father has done to his Son on the cross for you. Jesus Christ is sweating those drops of blood in that garden because for the first time, the Godhead is going to be rent apart. You can find that in Leviticus chapter 6, where he takes the dove and he rips the head off of that dove asunder. That's the first time, that's the showing of the Godhead being torn apart for our sin. But do we remember that about Jesus Christ? No, we do not. We don't understand that it's fulfilling the laws of God here. This had to take place. He had to be forsaken. Why? Because in your sin, God forsook you and would have condemned you to hell. But Jesus Christ said, hang on a minute, Miss Teresa. I'll take your place.
Hallelujah.
I'll get down in that garden and I'll sweat drops of blood. And then I'll go to the cross of Calvary to be forsaken of my Father for you. Everything that you've ever done, everything that you've ever thought about, everything that you've ever said has been nailed to that cross with Jesus. And you know what? God the Father forsook him. The Godhead for the first time is going to be rent apart for our sake. And people say, man, I don't know if Jesus loves me. Oh, God. How can you ever question such a love where he would go and do such a thing? You want to know what's good? Jesus Christ and what he's done for us is good. It's a wonderful thing, and we ought to remember that. Why else would Jesus Christ be forsaken by God the Father? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Oh, I love this. I love this. God gave this to me. It's just been sitting on my desk. It's brand new, never been preached. I said, Lord, I need something for farmers. He said, here you go. Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to go to verse 21. Excuse me, 2 Corinthians 5:21. I don't know why I said Matthew. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. And I want you to see why Jesus Christ is up there and why God the Father had to forsake him. And look what it says in verse 21. For he, that is talking about God the Father, hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That God the Father turned Jesus Christ into sin. God the Father had to forsake him. He became us on that cross. Why? For Jesus Christ's sake? No, for yours, my friend, that you might be made the righteousness of Christ. You see that word made? That means for the first time in eternity, Jesus Christ became us. It's something he's never been. Brother Scott, he said, I'll take that. You all know my past, ex-convict, criminal, ex-gang member, drug addict, all those things. Sister, I've just got one thing to say. It took the same amount of blood to save you as it did me. It took the same agony of Jesus Christ praying on that sweat and drops of blood for me as it did you. There's no difference in that. What do we like to do? We like to put different levels on sin. Jesus Christ died for all sin. My friend, let me tell you this. If the only thing you ever did is say one little white lie, that gets you a one-way ticket to hell. But Jesus Christ, in the agony of his soul, said, I'll take that. And he went to that cross and he was willing to be forsaken from God the Father. Why did God the Father have to forsake him? Because Jesus Christ was made sin for us on that cross, and God could not look at sin. God could not look at the sin of us. The sin of mankind was poured on Jesus Christ. It was given to him to take, and God the Father had to forsake him. Could you imagine that, brother? Could you imagine a holy God and telling his son, I have to forsake you. This is the only way we can take care of this. You have to fulfill Scripture. You have to be forsaken, because a sinner without Christ is forsaken. A sinner without Christ is condemned to an eternity in hell. And Jesus Christ has got to pay that sin fully. He has made sin for us who knew no sin. Oh, my goodness, if you just think about the holiness of that, just think about the love of that. Could you imagine if just people could grasp the love of God? Imagine if we, when we get in troubles or things, afflictions come our way, if we could just remember the love of Jesus Christ and that he had for us to even think upon us. To say, I'll do that. Think about what Jesus Christ went through. I don't think there's a person in this room who would volunteer to do it. You know, I know some people get crazy around, you know, Easter or whatever, and nail themselves to a cross. But there's so much more than just being nailed to a cross. There's so much more that happened up before that. They couldn't handle it. They couldn't handle the beating that Jesus Christ got, or turned him into hamburger meat and all that stuff they compared to. They couldn't handle that. Well, one thing they can't do is they cannot feel the wrath of God on them for the sins of the world. That's one thing that can't do. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. You know, I like to do Bible exercise. I'm ready, brother. Yeah. Now, let's just turn in the Bible. Let's just go ahead. Keep everybody away. I don't pick on people if you've been working all night, had to go to fire calls and sick. I don't pick on that type, but the rest of us ought to be awake. The rest of us ought to be awake, okay? You can't stay awake on Sunday, go to bed early on Saturday. That's what I tell my family. I live that. There are times that I stay awake late at night during the week. But you better believe I'm in bed at a proper time so I can get up on a Sunday morning and be prepared for the house of God. Why it's important? Romans chapter 8. We'll start in verse 1. Look what it says there. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Why? Why are we free? For the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus hath made, not set. Everybody always like to say that word set, man. I'm telling you, they mean two totally different things. Jesus Christ wasn't sent out there to be made sin. He was made sin. We are not. Here it says, for the law of the Spirit of Christ and life Jesus had made me free. It made me something that I never was before. It made me into somebody that never existed. You never existed? The man that you see today did not exist 12 years ago. Don't believe me? There's my mother. Ask her how I used to be. She'll let you know perfectly well that I am not the same man that I was today than I was back then. Why? Because I was made free, not set free. Jail, prison, mental hospitals, rehab, all that did was send me back out there to go out there and live that same life that I always did. But when Jesus Christ entered into my life, he made me into something that never existed before. How is that? Because I have Christ living inside of me now. I have the new man that dwells inside of me, and he changes my life. I don't have to sit there and work at it all the time. He gives me the strength to do it. There's the command to do it. Now it's up to me to go out there and do those things that he's given me. I'll tell you what, it's a wonderful life. I don't end up in jail cells anymore. I don't have to wake up in the morning and wonder how in the world did I get here? Who's this laying next to me? Where am I at? I don't have any of those worries. I don't wake up in a mental hospital or rehab being pumped up full of medications. That's wonderful to get rid of that stuff. Jesus Christ, he made me free. He gave me a new life in the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus here, and he says, he had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Why did he condemn sin? So that you didn't have to. By the way, that's singular, S-I-N. That is talking about your sin nature, not the things you do. Jesus Christ has to first destroy that sin nature that we all have. And what happens when he destroys that sin nature? We stop sinning. We stop committing those things that are against the laws of God. So what did he destroy, Joe? He destroyed sin. Why? It said that he was made sin for us who knew no sin. Christ took care of every bit of it. He paid the ultimate price for that. Hey, let me ask you this. When you die without Christ, are you condemned to a cross or are you condemned to hell? You're condemned to hell. What do you think Jesus Christ had to pay ultimately? His soul was made of sin, an offering for sin. Where was his soul made an offering for sin? According to the book of Leviticus, his soul was made an offering for sin in hell. He paid the ultimate price for us. He took it all. He brought down there. And he took the keys of death and hell. And he crossed over that great gulf into paradise. And he preached. And 3 days resurrected. What a wonderful Savior. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for him. Thank God that he paid that price so I didn't have to. Thank God that he took all that sin and he was made sin for us who knew no sin. And he was made in the likeness of sin. And he condemned sin in the flesh. Oh, thank God for it. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. I still get excited over the things of God. I still get excited what he'd done for me. I didn't deserve anything he'd done for me. It's not like I said, Shane, I said, hey, Jesus, you know, I deserve this. No, he said, you deserve hell. I didn't earn my way to Jesus Christ. I couldn't earn. I tried religiously earning my way to Jesus Christ. It didn't work for me. It just left me in the same place, doing the same things over and over again, expecting something different that never came along. It put me, you know what it did? It drove me insane. It drove me crazy. Put me in mental hospitals. Put me on all kinds of medication. That didn't change me. Jail didn't change me. Prison didn't change me. Rehab didn't change me. For 40 years, brother, this world's been trying to change me. For all those years, my mother watched me go in and out of jails, in and out of prisons, in and out of mental hospitals, in and out of rehab, hoping to God that something would finally change me. None of it changed me. 12 years ago, I ran into the love of Jesus Christ and it flipped my whole world upside down. I realized what I was in his eyes. I realized that I was a lawbreaker against the holy God. And I repented, Brother Doug. And my life has not been the same. My life has finally changed, and my mother gets to rejoice in seeing me change. She no longer has to come visit her son in the jail cell. She no longer has to worry about if I'm going to make it another day or is somebody going to kill me. Is he going to overdose or is he going to kill somebody? My mother, as you know, now lives in our house, and God has been merciful in that. It's been good. It's been wonderful. She's been in church. She's working on that. And please pray for my mother because she has terrible legs. It's not that she's ancient or anything. She's not. But she's getting up there, but her legs kill her. And yet you see her willing to come to church. So you pray that God give her mercy as she continues to go through church. She's going to walk down those stairs today. You watch the agony that's going to be for my mother to go down those stairs. Okay? But she wants to be in church. How about that? Ain't that something good, Scott? You know why she wants to be in church? Because she sees some people with a changed life. It's called her son and his family. And she wants to be there. Please pray for her. Pray God help her. And I'm very thankful, Ma. You know I'm grateful every time you show up. It's crazy because I'll just share this with you before I continue on. My mom used to come to my concerts. I used to be a death metal, heavy metal singer. That's what I did. And it's a little different than that, isn't it, Mom? Yeah. But we go through some stuff, Ma. Thank God. Thank God for my mom. She's the only one I'll ever have, and I thank God for her, and I appreciate her. Look at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. We're almost done here. It says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Ain't that wonderful? We've been cursed underneath the laws of God, Brother Scott, and Christ redeemed. He bought us back from that. He went out there and said, no, Father, I'm going to pay the price. I'm going to buy them back. I'm going to redeem them from that curse that's been put on them. Okay? Ma, did you know anybody on this planet that ever would have wanted to trade places with me in jail, prison, or any of that? Not one person on this planet would have said, Dale, I'll go to jail for you. I'll go to prison for you. Oh, Andy, by the way, honey, I love you a whole lot, but I would not go to hell for you. And anybody who says they would is a liar. You're a straight-up liar saying you'll go to hell for somebody. No, you wouldn't. That's just somebody talking out of their mouth. If you understood what hell really is and how long it really is and how hot it really is, you would not flippantly say something so stupid that you'll go and pay a price in hell for somebody. No, you wouldn't. You can't pay their price. Only Christ can pay their price. He redeemed us from that curse. Is that not what it says in 3:13? Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Being, what was he not? Now, we know he was made sin, but what else was he made? He was made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Jesus Christ was cursed for your name's sake. He was cursed for those things that you went out there and did. He didn't go out there to live that way. You did. Young men, Luke and Autumn, you may have not went out there and lived like some people in here, but you're still under the curse of the law and you still need Jesus Christ. You know why? Because you've got a defiled, filthy heart. You got a sin nature that lies within inside of you and it needs to be taken care of. Hey, and if you're saved, that's your verse you can claim. And if you're not, if not, you have a hefty price. There are people today, Brother Doug, who are in hell paying a price that Jesus Christ already paid for them. Jesus Christ already paid that price for those that are in hell. And yet there they are for eternity burning. That don't have to be. He became that curse. He was made sin for us.
Well, let's go to Isaiah 53 as I close. Isaiah chapter 53. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible. It just really shows, you know, Jesus Christ and his love for us. And if there's nothing else that drives us in this world, it should be the love of Christ and those things he's become. We ought to study out those things that he's become. Isaiah chapter 53, we're just going to read the 12 verses and we'll get out. And it starts off in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 1. Who hath believed our report? Not many people today. Not many people today believe. They don't believe the Bible. You know, they got to go back. You know, like you said, they got to go back. They think the originals are the only thing inspired. That's all a bunch of nonsense. You mean to tell me God can't take something from the originals and give it to us today? That's just a bunch of hogwash. That's what college does to people, by the way. Is that what 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 1 says? Talks about knowledge puffeth up. I have a doctorate, but I can guarantee you one thing. That's the word of God. I don't have any questions or doubts about that whatsoever. I don't need a man to tell me what the word of God is. I know where it's at. It's in front of me. I don't need a Bible college professor to tell me where the Bible is. I don't need him to teach me the words that are in it. There it is. It's right there. Are you willing to put that price in? Who hath believed our report? Not many today, but we are in the Laodicean church age, so therefore we know that Jesus Christ is on the outside of the church knocking to get back in because we have kicked them out. Well, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he, Jesus Christ, shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. That is Jesus Christ. He didn't come down here. He came down as a servant. He came down here to die. He didn't come down here to go and make himself a reputation. It says that he made himself with no reputation. He didn't want to come down here to this buff, beautiful man. Look at me. That's not how he came down here. He came down here to die. And this is why the Jews rejected him, because they thought, man, this wonderful king is going to come down here. He's going to be very handsome, and he's going to be dressed in all these jewels, and he's going to just sweep off our feet. Not even realizing the kingdom that he was starting was that one that was going to save them from hell. That's why it says in Isaiah that he's come with no form, that we will not desire him. He is despised, and he's rejected of men. Well, you can't deny that. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Where is all this coming from? And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. And he was despised, and we esteemed him not. You know, people go out there, and when you do wrong to somebody, you don't want to see that person anymore. Why? Because you're ashamed. You despise that person because you've given everything. You've put everything on them. You've said filthy words to them. You've done all that kind of stuff to them. Well, that's what we do to Jesus Christ with our life. You may not say that about Jesus Christ, but we sure live it that way. Could you imagine, Lisa, if for one minute we lived with more of Jesus Christ in our thoughts, how we would live? The problem is we don't. You just try for the next 24 hours, Shane. I got a challenge for you, buddy. I want you to try for the next 24 hours to, as much as possible that's in you, to live thinking about God and the things of God. And let's see how different your life is. The problem is we don't do that, Brother Scott. We say we do, and if a person sits here and goes, well, I do that, you're a liar. You already started off on the wrong foot. Why? We don't esteem him. We don't remember what he done for us. Miss Sue, we sure remember what people have done to us. We sure remember the words they say to us. But do we ever think about what Christ has really done for us? Do we esteem him above others? Do we look at Mom, those things that were done to you as a child? Do you know that Jesus Christ took care of that? And that those things you don't have to carry around in your heart anymore? Those things were taken care of? But do we esteem Christ that way? No, we don't. We spit in his face and tell him, you can't do that for me. Look at this, says verse 4. Surely he had borne our griefs. He didn't bear his own griefs. He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we didn't esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Our peace.
He took all these things so that we can have peace. He took all these so that our iniquities would be on him and not us. Man, we get to go in eternity and we'll stand there and close our eyes and we'll stand there before God. And Jesus Christ will step in the middle and say, Father, I took that for him. He said, go ahead and go on. What a wonderful thing that's going to be to stand at the feet of Jesus Christ and thank him for those things that he took for us. And maybe you just don't think on those things. Maybe because you weren't a convict enough. You think it's just people like me that need to be thankful for what God has done? Are you out of your mind? Brother Scott, that's what most people say. Well, Dale needed that. Every one of you needed it.
Yes, sir.
I ain't no different than you. Don't put my life and say, well, I wasn't as bad as you. Oh, no, you're worse off by denying what you really are. I know the truth of what I am. I know the truth of what I was. I know the truth of what my life is. The problem is you hide it in your heart. People sitting in church pews today hide it in their heart and look at me like I was just some bad person. Well, that's a joke. Thank God for his mercy. Look, you ought to recognize what God has done for you just as much as I need to recognize what God has done for me. There is no difference. But we don't do that. Well, verse 6. We all like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And there it is in 2 Corinthians 25:21. He laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth, and he was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And I always marvel at that, go, man, what does that mean? Well, I don't get that concept. Could you imagine back in the days during the Levitical times and such where they had to do sacrifices? Could you imagine if those lambs and such knew what was going on? Their sacrifices had no clue that they were going to be killed. They just went. You know what the difference between that lamb and the Lamb of God was? Jesus Christ knew what he was doing. He knew exactly what was going to happen to him. When my mother had me, she didn't know what kind of child she was getting. When Jesus Christ saved you, he knew exactly what he was getting and still chose to do that. Those lambs, if they had a conscience and they knew what was going on, Brother Doug, they wouldn't have said, oh, I'll go die for this person. Yeah, no problem. I'll go die for that person. They wouldn't have done that. They would have ran some other way. But oh no, Jesus Christ was led and he kept his mouth closed and he went and he said not a word. Because you know what? He said, I'm going to take their sin because my love, it's a love that drove him to do what he did. I don't know anybody else on this planet that can love you like Jesus Christ. His love drove him to a cross. As a lamb to the slaughter. Verse 8, he was taken from prison and judgment. And who should declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Ain't that? It pleased God to do that to Jesus Christ. Why? Because he knew you wouldn't have to go through it then. Ain't that something? It pleased God the Father to do that to his son. Look, I'm telling you now, I had no pleasure in spanking you, son, ever. I knew I had to do it for your own good, but I took no pleasure in spanking my son. Here, God the Father said he took pleasure in what happened to Jesus Christ, his son, for your sake. If that don't move you, there ain't nothing on this planet will. Maybe you just need a little more beer. Maybe you need to smoke a little more. Maybe smoke some weed to make you happy. That ought to make you happy, knowing that God the Father did that to his son for your sake. Brother, that just absolutely drives me to my knees at times, and I just cannot believe that God would do that for me. That he would take pleasure in his son and those things that he was going to go through for me. Now, this has nothing to do with you that are sitting here, but let me just share with you. There would have been days. Miss Sue may have experienced it, maybe Brother Doug back in the days and such. When John 3:16 would have been a message that was preached, and this altar would have been full. Today I've preached on Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. There's not a tear in this room. That just goes to show you the coldness of people's hearts towards this book and towards what Jesus Christ. Why? Brother Doug, you put it perfectly. Because we're not doing it. We're not remembering what he's done for us. We've moved on from that. Well, he saved me so-and-so years ago. He done that so-and-so years ago. And we don't remember what Christ. When we come and take that, do we really remember that it's his body and his blood that was broken and shed for us? Do we really remember that? Or has it become the ordinance of the church? Am I right about that, brother? That's what he preached on. When you come and do this, are you really doing it in remembrance of Jesus Christ and what he done? Or are you just doing it because that's what your church does? And if you're doing it because you remember what Jesus Christ done, then you ought to examine yourself before you try to come and worship him that way. Yeah. But that's not what's going on today, is it, Brother Doug? But I tell you, that's what I got out of your messages, brother. It's the lack of me remembering of what Jesus Christ has done for me. And allowing that slackness to come into my life. And allowing the spirit of slumber to come in my life about the things that Jesus Christ has done for me. Look, I'm not saying we have to think about it every single day. But there ought to be some time during the week we think about what Christ has went through for us. When you're going through a hard time, when you're facing something you just don't know what to do, just think of what Jesus Christ did for you. It'll make it a little less hard for you when you really remember and ponder those things that Christ done for you. I can't get off the word remember. I mean, I can't. Since I've been here, sitting here the last 3 weeks, I absolutely loved it. I wish we would have recorded it, brother. More people need to hear the remembering of Christ, the remembering of those things, the remembering that God wrote these things down for us to have in a perfect Bible. Anybody else getting anything out of that stuff? I sure hope so.
Amen.
Take some time this week and remember what the Lord has done. And here it is. It pleased the Lord to bruise him, for he had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, there it is, it's plain as day. He shall, who made his God the Father, made his son's soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, and shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul. It didn't say he should see the travail of his flesh. It didn't say he should see the travail of his spirit, but his soul. Where was his spirit at this point? God, he says, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Then where was his body at? His body is laying in the tomb. Then where was his soul? It was made an offering for sin in the flames of hell, according to Leviticus chapter 6, verse 20. That's how he's going to see his seed, and it shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And he shall see the travail of his soul, and it shall be satisfied. Do you understand the travailing of Jesus Christ's son, his soul, was a, what did it say? That God would be satisfied with that. Could you imagine something like that? Could you imagine watching your son have to go through that and be satisfied with it? You know why? You know what the outcome was? You, my friend. You were the outcome of all this. Every single one of us sitting in this room was the outcome of this. God was satisfied with what Jesus Christ done for our sake. Do you think Jesus Christ is doing this for himself, Amy? He's done it for you, my love. He done it for me. God the Father was satisfied to watch the travail, watch the suffering of his son for us. He took our place in that whole entire thing. He took it, and God the Father looked down and said, I'm satisfied now. What would have happened, Brother Doug, if somebody would have went and done a sacrifice and done it wrong? Would God have accepted that? And what if Jesus Christ didn't fulfill it all? God the Father would not be satisfied, but you know what? He was. It says it right here in Isaiah 53. God the Father, he says, was satisfied. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Thank God for bearing my iniquities, Jesus.
Amen.
Therefore will I divide a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he had poured out his soul unto death. He had poured out, that means he chose to go to death for us. And he was numbered with the transgressors, my friend. There it is, we're all transgressors. And he bare the sin of many and made intercessions for the transgressors. How about it, my friend? Do you guys remember the travailing of Jesus Christ? We remember those great drops of blood that he sweat. Remember that cross. Remember that Jesus Christ was forsaken. Remember what he went through, Isaiah 53:10, where a soul was made an offering for sin, where Jesus Christ had to go through these things, and God the Father looked down and said, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. Think about Jesus this week. Put him in the forefront of your heart. Remember what he's done. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. Oh, my God, we thank you for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for thinking upon us, Lord, who you should not even have thought about us, but you did, Lord. And Lord, may we remember that this week. May we remember what you have done for us. May we remember those things that you went through so that we did not have to, my God. Thank you for your goodness and thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love towards us. In Jesus' holy and precious name we do pray, Lord. Amen and amen.